Sometimes it's a challenge covering certain topics on here while trying to keep the tone of the episodes like lighthearted and fun. Like, it's easy enough to acknowledge that Diddy's people were responsible for the murder of Tupac. Like, no problem, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, like, trying to, you know, get into the black market for corneas, like, while Israel is still killing Palestinians for their organs right now, it's like, damn, like, I don't even have a way to chase that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's hard to make that, like, pithy and, like, you know, listenable. But it is, because it's really interesting. It's just incredibly bleak.
Yeah, after recording last week about both, well, mainly about the organ trade market or whatever, I've been, like, seeing some more infographic style posts about Israel using Palestinian organs. And so the research I did for that last episode mm-hmm. was, I would say, like, more intensive than, like, looking at an infographic on
for
Instagram.
Sure. Yes.
I don't know what your feelings are on, like, infographic culture.
You know. I think you probably guess. I mean,
yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. But this one claimed, and, you know, it seemed pretty plausible that Israel has been killing prisoners of war that were, or they were maybe just prisoners mm-hmm. or the whatever the other, like, kind of prisoners there are in that context. They're all, it's all kind of the same shit. But anyway, like, people will stay in custody after being murdered in custody for, like, the duration of their sentence, and, like, the state will not be, like, doesn't return their bodies to their families.
That's so awful.
And I was sort of, like, at first just trying to understand based on, like, the research I've done, like, I do still think the majority of people who have organs taken from their bodies without their consent were people that died for other reasons than specifically, like, I'm killing you for your organ.
Sure.
Because it's not likely that if you're murdering somebody that you already have their blood type and somebody set up to receive exactly what have to where you can actually profit the way that people involved in this are trying
totally. To. And, like, not to damage anything if you, like, murder them. You know what I mean? Like, if you murder someone that could damage the organ you're trying to, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, no, that's a completely valid point. As dark as it is, it's, like, something that they would consider mm-hmm. if that's the business they're in.
Yeah.
And it seems like there is a up and running market for organs still that is, I think the way that I'm kind of understanding it is, well, if you have somebody in prison uh-huh. already, then you can figure out their blood type and get those things in order.
Oof.
And have all of that administrative work done so that when you are ready to kill them, it's like you get that paycheck.
Uh-huh.
And the people involved in orchestrating those operations are not necessarily the exact same, like, government body that is, like, waging war.
Yeah.
But there's still communication enough between those totally. Two, like, groups of people within that government
oh, yeah.
to where they may have their own separate goals and interests, mm-hmm. but when those align, it seems sort of fair game for in their heads to take those extra steps.
Definitely.
And I think it's just,
It's so awful. It's so appalling. Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's not even to get into the Jewish people involved with killing Tupac.
Yeah, it's not even to draw. Yeah, you know, it's a tragedy all around. It's, yeah.
Right, and when Kanye is, like, you know, going off of, and I don't really follow it so closely.
Yeah.
But you know what? Who's to say that his Nazi symbols that he is embracing uh-huh. are not just, like, fuck Diddy,
totally.
Fuck Israel.
Because
basically this guy named Clyde was the guy that put Diddy on. And he's an out gay hip-hop manager from the 90s
okay.
that It's all but confirmed had received some sexual favors from Diddy when Diddy
Not
was young.
shocking.
So
Not shocking.
That story kind of is a classic victim becoming a victimizer.
For sure.
And I got deep into that as well. That one is a delight from start to finish. Like,
yeah, it's been so fun to watch that unfold. As disgusting as everything. I mean, like, you know, it's upset, but also it's like it just feels like that thing where people have said for so long that like that kind of thing just happens. You know what I mean? And it wasn't confirmed, and then now it's just like kind of like none of it's beyond the pale. Like, I believe kind of all of it. You know?
Right. And I don't know what exactly Kanye has been canceled for.
Yeah.
But I mean, it seems like the anti-Semitism is sort of what led to him being deplatformed.
Definitely. I think that was the last like straw. Because I mean, he was kind of, I mean, he got like blacklisted kind of, I think, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. I think he did have his Twitter removed and maybe Elon Musk like let him come back.
He did, because Elon was like, I love this. Like, you know, discourse. I have takes on the Kanye thing that I no one likes to hear them because they're just kind of weird, and I literally can't say them because they're like, it's what you're not allowed to say. But I just, you know, I just think it was weird when he did all that and said all that, and then the bank stopped banking with him. Do you remember that? Like, when he said that shit, and then Chase Classic. Bank was like, you can't bank with us. And I was like, okay, if like a bipolar anti-Semite like thought you guys controlled the banks, and then you literally like cancel him from like partaking in like the finance of your banks, it's like kind of reinforcing what he said.
They're not doing a great job of like dispelling their rumors that they control
everything,
the music industry
and media,
Hollywood.
Yeah, and the banks.
And media.
Yeah, that's all. That's just one thing.
Yeah, or like shaking off the bloodthirst rumors while they're cutting open people's bodies.
I know. Yeah, that's
selling
not
their organs.
I know. That was interesting on the last episode you did, talking about that kind of, and like the like ancient anti-Semitic myths or whatever. And it's kind of like, you know, two things can exist at once. Like, nobody's using like 1400s era like medieval Spanish Inquisition logic. I don't think. It's more just like addressing what's like happening.
But, I mean, listen, like, it would have never occurred to me,
right,
to look into the medieval,
yeah, cause no one
rumors.
Says. Yeah.
But now.
Yeah. It's like the Streisand effect.
I'm thinking, like, it's a tell. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about that. But now that you mention it.
I know. It's funny how many, I feel like there's just, like, everything I'm saying sounds like, it literally does sound anti-Semitic. And I don't mean it that way whatsoever. But I feel like there's just kind of a, like, there's kind of a cataloging that is done by, like, you know, Israeli, like, media, I guess, and kind of propaganda machine that is, like, they just have at the ready, like, a Rolodex of all the stereotypes that this could confirm or whatever. And it's kind of, like you said, it's stuff that no one's thinking about, but they have it at the ready, you know? So anytime you make any critique, they're like, no, you can't say that because back in, like, the 1300s, people said that kind of thing about us then. And it's like, oh my god, like you are like waging a genocide like right now. Like, it's crazy.
Right, they have their index cards in their back pocket.
Yeah, they're just
times.
Like ready. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Jews, the Oscars are coming up.
They sure are. Are you gonna watch?
I don't know, actually.
I think I am. I always do. I can't stop myself usually.
I usually am in the same boat.
Yeah.
And I don't make that decision until the day of, but
totally.
It's such a, like, I watched all of the Grammys this year.
Right. I kind of went in and out on that. Grammys are fun to watch. I love, like, the VMAs, usually. VMAs are always great.
I watched all the VMAs.
I did,
the
too.
Most recent one. I watched all the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I watched the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Something to do.
Go Chiefs, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was 49ers.
Wait, actually,
yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
The California team.
Yes.
One of the, like, four California teams.
Mm-hmm. One of the very few. Yeah, I was thinking about how few of the Oscar films I've seen. I also just kind of keep forgetting, like, what's nominated even. It's nice to be, like, completely neutral. I kind of, like, don't care what happens there.
I was trying to watch one the other day.
Which one?
I was trying to watch The Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think it's gotten mixed reactions, and maybe I haven't heard a lot of details about it. I just feel like people are like scoffing at it, and I don't really know what's going on, but I would like to, is it Scorsese?
It is Scorsese, and he hasn't made one kind of in a bit, I think. I could be so wrong about that.
Right.
But I know a lot of people who saw it in theaters, and it's like 3.5 hours long. And I just know myself.
Oh.
And I was just kind of like, I can't be in a theater like that for that long. And then I meant to watch it when it was on Apple TV. And then now I don't have Apple TV. So I know I should watch it. I really like Scorsese. I've heard like mostly good things, but I've also heard like a lot of people saying that it's just like overwrought.
That's sort of the vibe that I'm picking up on as well.
Yeah.
Maybe for the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's not streamable now. So if anyone's trying to do last minute, like pre-Oscar
nothing
watching,
is.
They have to like buy it.
That, which is crazy. Everything's like $20. Like I want to see Poor Things.
Yes.
I guess Poor Things is going to come out on Hulu tomorrow, I think, unless I'm crazy.
Oh, thank goodness.
So I can watch that maybe in time for the Oscars. Because I mean, just because I'm like an idiot, I'm like, yeah, Emma Stone should get the Oscar just because I like Emma Stone. I like haven't seen the movie or whatever. I'm just like, I don't know. But yeah.
Hopefully we'll find some time. I have to watch Beverly Hills tonight.
Ooh,
Survivor.
Ooh.
Probably tomorrow.
There should be an Oscars for that kind of thing, you know?
Truly.
Kind of like is. Like, I guess you could get like Emmys for reality TV. How is Vanderpump been?
Vanderpump Rules. it's been okay.
Okay.
I'm listening to Rachel Goes Rogue.
Is that her podcast, Rachel?
Yeah,
oh,
so Raquel is
Raquel.
She is reclaimed Rachel.
Good for her.
Yeah, after Scandoval, for a minute, people were calling her Rachel as like a dig.
Yeah.
Which is like not clever at
all. It's not. It's fucking stupid. Yeah. I was always kind of team Raquel, team Rachel, just because she's very funny.
Right.
And I felt bad for her. Like, obviously, she's just like caught up in some like manipulative coke addict's like sphere of interest, you know?
And first of all, same. I have to sympathize with
absolutely
that plight.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah.
And she's suing both Ariana and Sandoval, which just broke this week, for revenge porn.
Oh my god. Wait, did they post that of her? Because of the FaceTime that like Ariana found or whatever? Oh my god, whoa.
Just the fact that they messaged it to people.
Oh.
That Sandoval recorded it without her consent.
All of that is terrible. That is really terrible.
However it got messaged around.
Totally.
I think that it's gonna be pretty easy to prove that they're guilty.
Yeah. There's receipts.
So,
ooh,
I don't know how that's going to turn out, but
that's like the trial of the century.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, when I was trying to watch Poor Things or Killers of the Flower Moon, and I couldn't find it anywhere for free,
no,
I ended up just doing what everyone's doing and committed to a girls rewatch.
Absolutely. The perpetual of girls rewatch. I feel like I'm stuck in like a girls rewatch loop. I mean, like I've said this on air before. I'm just like, I live in it, but
for the last decade.
Yeah, literally, it just never gets old to me. But yeah, I'm so glad you kind of started that again. Like, when did you watch it when it aired, and then have you not rewatched since? Or
basically, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's the best way to do it.
I think I jumped in when it was first airing. The first few seasons had already been out, but so I watched those and then kept up for all the new episodes until it was over.
Yes.
And haven't really revisited it at all until recently.
So
rewatching these old episodes does feel very, very fresh, and like I don't really remember them in any specifics.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's been fun. And from watching the first two episodes, like a pretty good first impression of all the characters before they start evolving in whatever ways that they evolve.
Yes.
To become, in Marnie's case, like more unbearable, but in Shoshana's case, like more lovable.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But in the first episodes, I don't love Shoshana.
No. I used to kind of think that maybe the character, like, not as much time was devoted to the writing of her at first. And I don't actually think that now, because I think it's actually very intentional that she's just such a like kind of blank slate of like just following trends and kind of, because she's so young. She's younger. They're all so young, but like she's significantly younger and still in college and so impressionable and just figuring her stuff out. She's not nearly as like, I feel like the other three girls are like evolved, you know, in a negative way even. Just like they know who they are better. A bit.
I agree. I think it was intentional, and it helps sort of drive some, not conflict, but I mean, I guess like the contrast with Jessa specifically living with her.
Totally.
The scene where I was like, okay, Shosh, I could not be in the same room as you is when she was doing vision boards. And so Jessa says, I'll do a vision board. And I'm like, oh, following. I'm like, yeah, you know, sure, like, it'd be fun. And then Shosh immediately is like, let's do one together.
Yeah.
Jess is like, no, I want to do one on my own. Yeah. Thank you.
She's so like, wait. And then Jess is like smoking pot. And she's like, do you want some? And Shoshana's like, no, I'm hyper enough already. It's fine. Like, she's like, I don't need pot. I'm hyper. It's, yeah. Yeah. She's very,
I was just fully sympathetic with Jessa being like, ugh.
Like, no. Yeah, absolutely. No, just, like, live with your cousin. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's so interesting that, like, Shoshana and Jessa are cousins. Like, it's just kind of random to consider. And that's kind of the only way that she's even in the fold. Because otherwise, they would not, like, know this girl who's, like, 21, you know?
Love it. It's a good device for introducing somebody for sure. A little different.
Yeah. Totally.
The moment that I did kind of relate to Shosh was when she went to the clinic.
Oh my god.
And Jess is not there. Hannah had just showed up and was getting tested. Shosh was like, oh my god, fun. Like, how exciting.
He's like, yeah, it's like a little test. Yeah.
She just thinks of it like a BuzzFeed quiz. Totally. She's like, oh my god, like, you had sex and you get to take a test now. How
yeah,
fun.
She's like, yay. Yeah. Oh my god. I love her being a virgin too. Like, that's a major thing in the show too. Like, that's like a cute kind of quirk of her character. And when she brings candy, like, and she's like, when my sister had a baby, it took forever, so like, I think we might need snacks. It's like, ah, it's an abortion. Yeah, love it. Oh my god.
But literally, snacks are great. Mm-hmm. So
like, yeah, they're gonna be there for a while. Yeah, it's I think you were saying when we were texting about it, just like, and you just said now, like, how actualized they all are, even from the first two episodes. And that's kind of such a crazy feat. I feel like it really is one of the best, like, pilot episodes. And I'm not just biased because I love the show. I feel like it really does, like, get everything out there that it needs to. And it's very engrossing. I just, like, I don't know. There's, like, so many good, like, one-liners just from the pilot alone.
Let's get into the pilot. Like, I didn't love Shosh.
Yeah.
I did not like Hannah's mom.
Oh, yeah. Hannah's mom's intense. Yeah.
I mean, she does a great job.
Yes, I love that actress. I fucking love that actress, yeah.
It's like, I want to sit by a lake!
Yeah, exactly. Oh my, and it's, whenever I watch that back, it's always funny to me because, like, I'm an only child, and so I always have, you know, very much relate to Hannah. But, like, it's funny because I'm always kind of, like, not to be a bitch, but I'm like, she's their only child. Like, they do, like, have probably decent incomes. They're both professors. It's just kind of funny that they're just, like, so hell-bent on, like, cutting her off. And it's like, I don't know, they, like, live in, like, Michigan, and like, I just like, they kind of like, she's kind of their only responsibility financially. Like, I get where they're coming from because she is like a ne'er-do-well and like a bohemian layabout, but like, you know, it's a little like, damn, you guys, like, could, you don't have to like cut her off, but I get you know, that they feel they have to.
I related to her specific indignation of being taken off of the family plans because it is more economical to be on a family plan.
It literally is. Like, it's, and my ex-boyfriend's still on my parents' family plan because it's like cheaper.
Period.
Like, it's like, well,
I'm telling my mom, I'm like, just Venmo request me. I don't want to have my own freaking plan that costs double. Anyway, Jessa, when she gets in town and sees Hannah, she's just like, just tell your parents that you're gonna be an artist.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to say. Just embrace the full, I think she like references like Flaubert, like living in a garret.
Yeah, exactly.
And I went deep into a hole of like, yeah, like, what happened to Garrett?
Yeah, whatever did happen to Garrett's, like, we should revisit the Garrett as the artistic center.
Right,
like,
and then fast forward, think of the movie Rent, when they live in that
totally
top floor thing.
Like, little creepy, like, loft, yeah.
And my reaction watching that was like, this is y'all's idea of slumming it? Like,
I know.
Looks like an apartment that you have to be born a millionaire to even,
oh,
like,
totally
touch.
Like, that's like $3,000 a month. Bare minimum, like, you know, these days, like, yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah, even if it wasn't climate controlled, like,
yeah,
people will still pay, but like, a shit ton of
absolutely
money to split that with 10 other people.
Absolutely, like, they'd feel lucky. Yeah, yeah. No, I love the Garrett. It's just like a great use of the word Garrett in the first episode of a television show. It's like, when's the last time you thought about Flaubert? And it's like, they're, you know, talking about it. Like, it's great.
It sucks that, like, yeah, if you're just gonna be an artist sort of committed to your craft and not necessarily making money while you're doing it. Like, what is that low cost option? I do have a friend that lives in something like the closest thing I could even compare. It's you know how buildings have like a basement where they'll keep their laundry machine? So there's a building in Chicago, and I think plenty of similar buildings. The classic three-story walk-up that has like six units or in the basement. It'll either be like storage and laundry, or in this case, they had built in these like little basement units. It's like even less than a garden unit, and it's even less than a studio
Oh my
because
gosh.
it's only enough room for like your bed, and then there's like a bathroom, but there's no kitchen, and the only sink you have is your bathroom sink. But it is like very affordable. It's still not as cheap as it should be. You have to still have a job. Like, you can't really be the artist vision that Jessa
That's like a Garrett, but
had
the
in.
opposite kind of like you're like going down rather than. Yeah, there should be like, I don't know, whatever happened to like everything now is so sanitized and disgusting and stupid, and I feel like there should be just like kind not like a flop house, but like a place where like people could live and like not really have to like be patronized almost, like have a patron kind of like keep you up, and then you get to focus on what you really want to be doing, you know, rather than have to like have some like barista job too. Like it's just it's all very unfortunate.
Yeah, agreed. I just respected Jess's attitude in that moment. I think there's a lot of validity to people like her existing, and I don't know. I think she was my initial favorite.
Oh, totally. I mean, like she is so like, I mean, when I watched that show and it aired when I was like 15, like when it came out, or I was like probably got like 14, I was like, that's the coolest person I've ever seen depicted on television, like literally. And the show does a really good job of kind of accurately, as narcissistic as the people are, it's also plausible to me. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like we all know people that kind of, it
Agreed.
feels like how people talk. I mean, like it really, it was the first show I'd seen like as a young person where I was like, okay, like this is kind of how life is. It's not that idealized viewpoint of like, oh, like we all don't struggle for money and we all have like these beautiful apartments and we just like have fun and we have careers and stuff. Like it's very like, it's kind of grittier, but in like a very appealing, endearing way.
Yeah, I love when Marnie's like so concerned, and then Jess is like, God, she seems like she's in such a good place.
Yeah, right. Drinking opium.
Yes, I'd like for you to see a real high person.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. And she's like, she thinks it's gonna taste like Twix. And he's like, no, I said twigs. Like,
Twix.
Twix.
But oh my God, Charlie was.
Charlie.
I
It
don't
was
know if I was
painful.
specifically uncomfortable because he had maybe some similarity. Like, listen, on episode two, he was wearing a very thin gray cardigan that I'm pretty sure I owned the
That
exact.
was like the look, kind of like that was, it was so of the time, 2012. It was just like over. Yeah. His arc is hard to watch with Marnie because it is just so reminiscent of things I've seen literally happen, where it's just like, yeah, like the nicest guy who's like just too nice almost, but like, and then you just, you know, and then like your friend is dating him and she's just like ripping him a new one all the time because she like hates him and won't say anything about it, you know?
Totally. And I think it's actually good for Marnie in those initial episodes to have that relationship where she's sort of repulsed by his touch, and it's not so defensible as it's just relatable.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just, and they are all so young. Whenever I watch those back and they talk about their age, I'm like, oh, fuck, you guys are like 22. What are your thoughts, like rewatching it now? What are your thoughts on Adam?
Adam, the fact that he's like gross, like an animal, is hot. I mean, I think the sex talk scenes are really funny.
They are.
I don't know. Honestly, he does a decent job of riffing with Hannah when Hannah's being so unsexy and like
And just so like
not getting
neurotic.
it.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
like when she's telling him that she got fired and he's like, "Well, weren't you not getting paid? So they just like asked you not to hang out there anymore. Like you weren't really like working there. Like you just hung out there." Like that was just like, I just feel like his character and the way she wrote it's just like kind of a cultural reset because he is very much like, I've talked to girlfriends of mine about this. He's so like the blueprint for the kind of guys we've found ourselves like dating or going after because it's just like that like kind of indifference, honestly. Where you're just kind of like, I don't know if he cares if I live or die. I want him to like give a fuck, but he's just so himself and kind of, I'm just whatever. He's just like kind of exactly who he is and he can't help it.
Yeah, I think I can see what you're saying. I don't know if I have an Adam, but many of my friends did.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, it's hard to get through your 20s without like crossing paths with an Adam. But I just feel like that kind of person, just a lot of these people, I feel like had not heretofore been represented in shows like this. I feel like they have a good blend of just really weird, jarring, off-putting characteristics, you know? So it's maddening to watch because they're doing and saying things where you're like, why would you do and say that?
Another thing with Jessa that I sympathized with was when she was getting so upset because Shosh was reading an article or a sort of like a lady's guide to
Yes.
sex and relationships, and she found it so patronizing and awful, and like, what does this woman who wrote this book know, or why should I listen to her? And feeling so just angry about it to the point where she had to like storm away and went into a spiral. Sometimes I do have those moments where somebody gives me advice where I feel so invisible and unrepresented in the
Totally.
conversation
Yeah.
that it just, there's nothing I can even do to try and advocate for myself. I just get angry.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like impotent rage because you're just kind of like, it just doesn't speak to you in any capacity, and it makes you feel so like kind of invalidated or just like you can't like combat it
Yes.
even. Yeah.
One example that I can say for myself is, I guess sometimes having conversations with people about like depression. I don't remember exactly like how to quote what was said that made me angry, but it was, yeah, the sentiment that there are certain like routines and that are a part of a person's like mourning that are give a given and that are
Right.
not like taxing to
Yeah.
your executive functioning like piggy bank. Oh yeah, when I was, you know, going through the darkest times, it was like the only thing I could do was get out of bed and brush my teeth or something. And I was like, that's better than me, babe.
Girl, yeah. Are you
Like,
kidding? Yeah, that's a feat of strength. I have a bit of a contrarian streak, you know, where if someone is telling me something, even if I can kind of agree with them, and I'm also very gullible and easy. Like I can hear everybody out. But sometimes if I'm just in a certain place, like I will just go contrarian mode and just like whatever someone's saying to me, I'll just be like, no. That's like not my
ugh.
experience. No, it has nothing to do with me. Like just because it just like it's like claustrophobic feeling almost to just feel like someone wants you to believe
Yeah.
what they're saying so bad. Yeah, whatever.
People love to give advice that has nothing to do with the person they're talking to.
They do, and I pride myself on not ever universalizing like that because I think it's such an easy way to just like make whoever you're talking to hate you because it's so condescending.
Yes.
It's just like kind of, it's so just like, it's like not what advice is for either, you know?
Right, I'd rather brainstorm with you on how bad things actually are
Absolutely.
than tell you how to fix your
Yeah,
problems.
or like I feel like I always go the route of like I'll tell you just like a really dumb thing I've done or like a stupid fucked up thing that's happened to me and here's
Yes.
how I like handled it. And that's not everybody's experience, but you know, it's what I did. Like it's yeah, I don't know.
There's no polite way to just kind of be like, the things you're saying have nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
So you just kind of have to grin through it and then wait until the interaction's over to fully like chimp out.
Absolutely, and that is what like that's what happens. But it's also like hard because it's like anything anybody says to you, it does kind of stick with you because you are having to hear it and process it. And it's like I can't unhear that now that you've said all that to me, and I wish you hadn't said it at all. And that's what I like about the scene in Girls too, because you can tell it like really does bother Jessa, and it like bothers her that it bothers her. You know, like she's I feel like she's very like frustrated that it's being said to her, but she's also frustrated that it's like hitting a nerve, you know, because she likes to think that that's, I feel like she seems like someone who that wouldn't even occur to her, but she's actually very, she seems, I think she's very kind of disturbed by the fact that she's gonna have to have an abortion. She's like disturbed by the fact that she doesn't know if she's not dating anyone. She's not, she doesn't really know what she's doing either, you know. Are you gonna keep up with the rewatch going forward
I
or
think I will. I have a lot of TV I'm watching, but it is one of those where I just watch one and then I can kind of go do something. I can't
Totally.
really binge it.
Yeah. You can like jump in and out.
Right. And other shows kind of suck me in for hours and hours and hours. So it's nice to have one that is not so unhealthy for me.
Yeah, totally.
Cuts into my time researching, you know, Mississippi counties and.
Absolutely. Yeah, you gotta carve time out for that. Yeah, what is, remind me what your county is this week.
I looked into two,
Oh,
and
okay, right.
it's totally fine. If I do two and you do one, that's probably appropriate because Mississippi has like 30 more counties than
Totally. Yeah,
California.
I'm like blowing through them already. Yeah.
So I looked into Emmett County and Atala County.
Right. Cool.
Well, one thing they both have in common is their names are a bastardized pronunciation of a French word
Oh.
that was originally used to describe Native Americans of the area.
Okay.
So both counties have roots in French settlers, I guess, name the area or the
Yeah.
river or the whatever. And but then the 19th century people, like, no longer French at that point. They're, we're a
Totally.
country.
Anything else? Yeah.
So we kind of like butcher the French. It's how it's spelled, AMITE, and it's supposed to be from the French word for friendliness, like
Yes, I
amite.
was gonna say, like, yeah, totally.
And yeah, so it's still spelt like kind of like that, but then it's just like imagine the dumbest kid in your French class,
Totally.
Amit, and that's
Amit.
how they pronounce
Yeah. Of
it, is
course,
like
yeah.
instead of saying amit, it's
Amit.
they say amit,
Yeah.
which makes me like pretty confident in saying that that county is full of
Probably. I mean,
dumbasses.
like, you know, it's not, I don't think that's like a reach. So were they just describing the people, the Native American people that lived there as friendly, and that's why they chose that word?
Yeah, that's
Okay. So
100%
interesting.
what it was. They named a river after the
Ooh.
tribe
Wow.
first,
Okay.
and then it was the name of the river that was the inspiration for the name of the county.
That was the kind of the same in mine. Randomly, it's like a river that they then named, like, it's a guy and then a river and then the county, I
Oh,
think, or
okay.
something like that. Yeah, anyways, go
What
ahead.
was your county again?
Amador, which is a Spanish word.
Okay, I remember this because, oh, like, door in French, D apostrophe OR, it means like
Of
golden
gold, yeah, like totally,
or
yes.
of gold. Yeah, and in Spanish it would be the same. So was it Amador, like
Yeah,
Amador?
that is what it is, and it just means one who loves in Spanish. But it
Oh,
is funny
okay.
that there is the like DOR thing, because that's very true, because it's also like Gold County, Gold Country, so.
Right. Again, and it's right next to like El Dorado
Yeah,
County.
which is like obviously, yeah.
We'll like circle back to this, but I just want to say I remember thinking about this, like, I wonder if they named Dora the Explorer after these areas and
Low
this sort
key,
of
like.
concept of like gold exploring,
That's so
because her name just
true.
means like golden in Spanish, I think.
Totally, totally. Yeah, and that's like, she is like, she'd be exploring and discovering. Yeah, that's crazy. I thought about that too when I was reading that, because I was like, Amador, yeah.
Never would have occurred to me, but now that I'm studying these county names, my other one, Atala, is at, and this is another impossible to succinctly rehash
Yeah.
situation. A French writer was so inspired by the conflicts of the Natchez tribe with French settlers that he got on a ship from France to the States to explore and like mingle with the natives so that he could write about it. Not like as a nature writer, but as like
Yes.
a romantic fictional, like his writing's very like
Yeah.
exoticized
Yeah.
and romantic. Anyway, he has claimed that his story called Atala is a commonly told story that existed before he got there, that he's sort of presenting now to his peers in France as a really interesting meeting of these savages in this land that is so sparkling with clashes between the more like European industrial mindset from the tribes that were in the deep south specifically. That was where he was focused. So anyway, like the name of the story, Atala, is the name of a character that was half Spanish, half
Right.
native, and that her name's Atala, and so this county is just using that for their name of their county.
Beautiful.
And that's where Oprah was born.
It really was.
Yeah, so Oprah is one of many Mississippians that don't really claim
Yeah, she
Mississippi.
does not, she's not talking about that. Yeah.
Like, Oprah kind of claims Chicago and
Right.
vice versa.
Right.
Britney Spears kind of claims Louisiana.
Yeah, I totally thought she was just Louisiana.
She was born in Macomb, Mississippi.
Wow.
That's actually like a stone's throw from Emmett County.
Really?
Yeah,
This is
so
crazy.
I'm gonna get into the Spears a little bit too.
Yeah.
Not like
Ooh.
really much about Britney
Yeah.
because that's just such a rabbit hole. But her sister, Jamie Lynn
Oh, yeah.
Spears, bought a house in Emmett County.
She did. Oh my God. Is it
Yeah,
nice? Have you seen
exactly.
pictures?
Yeah,
Whoa.
it was not that nice at all.
Okay, yeah.
It was right after she got pregnant,
Oh, yeah.
which was by a high school, athlete, or maybe he had just graduated high school
Yeah.
from the town over from where the Spears lived at that time. Like,
Gosh.
'cause it's like this, Emmett County is right on the border of Louisiana and Mississippi.
Okay, makes sense.
And so basically the two fun things that I learned are, one, that there was a plane crash in Emmett County that killed like half the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh my God, that's where that happened? Whoa, I did not know that.
Famous for Sweet Home Alabama and
Absolutely.
Freebird.
Freebird. Yeah, love it.
And so I did a lot of research on this plane crash.
Yeah.
They had just released an album called Street Survivors, and it was a photo of them with like flames behind them on the original album cover. They had to change it.
Oh my God.
And the plane they had was this piece of shit that I think multiple people were like really, really hesitant to even get onto.
That's sad.
And they were about to like upgrade to a nicer plane after that trip.
That's so dark.
Right. And so the main guy, the lead singer, I think his last name is like Van Zant, like John, it's either Johnny or Danny or
Yeah.
something, because his brother took over after he died and
Oh
they had
God.
like very similar names. I'll just
Okay.
say Van Zant.
Sure.
He was not buckled in because he was like hung over and like lying on the ground with a pillow.
Oh, dude.
The reason that the plane went down, because they were not attentive to the fact that they were running out of fuel.
Oh my God. I feel like that's like, oh, it's always something that fucking like Looney Tunes and dumb. That's just like, how do you not think about that? That's so, I'd be so pissed if I died in something like that. Or like, that's how like Aaliyah died, kind of like her plane. I think they just put way too much weight on it. And they were all like, hey, this is like too heavy. Like, it's not gonna work. And then they like didn't
Yeah,
work.
you're supposed to like have a van for your equipment
Yeah, totally. And like, and have fuel in the
and
plane.
have fuel in the
Like, so
plane.
sad. So it just crashed in like some field or something in Emmett County.
Okay, let's paint the picture.
Yeah.
So, once they realize that they are going down, they, well, I guess like once they realize that there's a problem, they try to reroute to Macomb, Mississippi, where Britney Spears was born.
Oh my God.
She wasn't born yet. She was born
Nope.
like 4 years after the plane crash, which,
I mean,
something to think
it makes you think, yeah.
about. So they weren't able to get there in time, and admit it's not a field, it's like a swamp filled with tall trees. And so once the plane is approaching the ground, the trees are like pop, 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 pop,
So
and
dark.
like things start falling apart. And there were a lot of survivors.
Oh my
There were
God.
20 survivors from the flight.
I didn't know that. Oh my
I think
God.
six deaths, which were like the pilot, the captain, the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd, the main guitarist from Lynyrd Skynyrd at the
Damn.
time, and one of their backup singers who actually wanted to ride on a van with the equipment because she was so afraid of the plane,
That's so
but they
sad.
talked her into getting on the
Oh,
plane.
that's so sad. Oh, I hate
I
that.
know.
Oh.
And they were just trying to get to Baton Rouge, so they were literally like
Not
so
far. Yeah,
close.
that's so silly. Oh my God. Horrible.
So they landed in this like swamp. Like, so whenever the people that lived nearby tried to help rescue them, because the officials were, one part of the rescue mission, but then just people that lived nearby, like,
Yeah.
got up off their asses
For
and
sure.
went into the swamp and tried to help, and were like tripping over people trying to grab another person and get all of these people out of this like plane crash in a swamp.
It's crazy.
And anyway, yeah, like down the road from there, Jamie Lynn Spears and her baby daddy bought a house for like a couple years.
Wow. Oh my God. It literally all comes like full circle.
Right?
That is crazy. I did not know that that happened right there. Things that you find out when you're looking into these things is kind of crazy. I feel like there's always like nuggets of like history that you don't connect initially or culture.
Totally. And both like modern history and also
Oh
like
yeah, like old-timey, like the history of our nation.
it like occurred to me recently that the gold rush in California was only 60 years after the French Revolution.
I know. I think that that stuff like that literally blows my mind. It's kind of insane to think about because it just feels like life was kind of like night and day at that point. And that always trips me out too, just how young California specifically is. You know, we got such a late start because we were just not even really part of contiguous United States for a while.
I am fully on board with pivoting to California.
Yeah.
I feel like California became a state just like a couple years after the Gold Rush
Yeah,
or something.
I think it's, I want to say 1850, and I feel like I could totally be wrong. But
That sounds right.
it sounds right. I'm probably totally wrong. I did not pay attention to like that part of like fourth grade or whatever. But I know, you know, obviously it was Mexico for a very long time prior to that. But I do think that it was like the discovery of gold and the realization that the land was like very fertile for that kind of thing. That's what got everybody hauling out there to like try to, you know, make mining camps and try to like build a life. And I know I've heard how like in the initial days you were crazy outnumbered men to women, I think, you know, because it was men that were moving there to like do the work. And so the women were like kind of few and far between. So it was kind of like a, it was a slow start, I think, to actually making like a livable community of like families, because it was kind of just like single men mostly. And then like prostitutes.
Like gambling and
Yeah,
drinking
totally.
and
And like,
circle jerking and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It would be good to brush up for me on like literally like the years of.
Chiming in to say at least we know the peak of the gold rush was 1849 because
That's
of the
for sure. 49ers. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, at least that's like
49ers.
context clues can get me there. Yeah, it's basically, I don't know if you know where Sacramento is in California, but obviously it's our, you know, capital. And it's this is Amador County's a little east of that. So it's like central California, which is just a lot of like, it's really beautiful, but it's like a lot of water features like lakes, rivers, that kind of thing. It's kind of near like South Lake Tahoe, you know, Amador County. It's a bit far, but it's kind of near it.
Okay.
A lot of trees, a lot of mountains, et cetera.
Then it would be close to Alpine too, I guess.
Exactly. Because it was founded in 1854, Amador County, and initially part of its original territory was just given to Alpine County because they were like, Alpine County doesn't
Oh.
have enough room right now. But then I think they gave it back. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they rezoned it, I think,
Nice.
eventually. The Alpine stayed as small as it is now, and Amador stayed roughly the same size. And it is really small. It's like only got 40,000 people as of 2020, which isn't like crazy small, but you know, small.
Yeah.
And it was founded by this guy, Jose Maria Amador, and he was a soldier, and he and this like group of Native Americans established a gold mining camp in that area of Amador County before it was even like called anything formally. And that was 1848. So they were kind of right up on the advent of it. Yeah, it was basically just a gold mining community for a while that wasn't really called anything. It was just like a collection of camps and stuff and mines. And they called it the Heart of the Mother Lode because it was basically like a huge like vein of gold was like running through it, like just like it was like truly like the most
That's
like,
so lit.
I know it's crazy. It was like really, really, really conducive to stuff. And I, you, did you send me that? There's like a short story about Amador County that's like Luck of Roaring Camp. And I think you sent me the thing that there was like a movie made of it too, like an old movie.
Yeah, I think it's on Tubi, the like
Yes. Love
film
Tubi.
adaptation. Because I remember also having a moment realizing when my in my head when I think of westerns as a genre, for some reason it does not occur to me that that could be California.
Oh yeah, I feel like it often kind of is. Yeah.
It makes sense. It's like the
Yeah.
West,
Yeah.
right? But it's
Totally.
like funny because I'm like, oh, California is not
I
like the
know.
same as like cowboy
No. You
culture.
wouldn't think, but I feel like it's its own kind of weird thing 'cause it's like guys in mines, you know. Like eating beans and stuff. So it is very Western, but that story and that movie that was adapted from the story, I read part of the story. It's like about these miners that are just like these like ne'er-do-well gambling men, and then this woman named like Cherokee Sue like has a baby, and they're all like, oh, she's like the town slut, like nobody cares about her. But then she dies, and then they're all like, oh my God, we have to take care of this
Damn.
baby, like this baby's so cute, and they think he's lucky, like they name him like Lucky. And they're like, we're gonna take care of this baby, like for the, it's gonna make us all better people. And it like does make them all better people just because they start caring for a baby. But then the baby dies in a flood when it's like a young boy.
Sorry.
It's okay, I know. Because and I was reading that like I guess there was actually a real life flood that happened in like 1862 called like the Great Flood. And I think it started in Oregon
Okay.
and went all the way down through Oregon, through California, and into Nevada. And it just like fucked Sacramento specifically up. I don't know so much about Amador, but it like destroyed everything. It was just like,
Holy
it was kind of
shit.
like there was like old-timey drawings of people just like in boats just like wading down like streets. So yeah, that's that story about Roaring Camp. Yeah, there's just a lot of tourist attractions of like places that used to be gold mines that are now, you know, just privately owned tourist attractions because all the mines
One
got
thing
closed.
that I was just gonna say, I think it's so funny with the Luck of Roaring Camp mm-hmm. story, there was a reception of it as being this like scene of unbelievably humorous situations. And yeah. the situation is just like men raising an infant.
Totally.
And it's like,
they're like, how could they? Yeah, totally. They're like, what? Like these single guys? Like, it's so funny. I know that I read that too, that people were like, whoa, like this is like fucking out there. Like, as like, if.
This guy is off his rocker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine that. Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. That's true. Yeah, it's such a weird thing to have associated with the county. It's such like very like specific, like little weird chunk of history that I don't think anybody's like thinking about, you know, at all now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess all the mines closed during World War II, obviously, because I think they were kind of like, we really don't have like the resources to devote to this shit right now because we're like doing a war effort. Okay. But I think that it hadn't, I think it was really big for a time. And then I think as the 1900s went on, it got less and less of a major thing. And they kind of moved into like, is it viticulture? Like wine. They moved into wine.
Got it.
It's interesting that a place could have a ton of gold mines and a ton of like vineyards. Kind of odd.
Yeah, but it's like too good to be true.
Yeah, exactly. It's like very lucrative. I was looking into the population stuff because there's a, you know, obviously a lot of cities in Amador County and they're all okay. named like kind of ugly, weird, sad names. I didn't even really write them down. I remember reading them and being like, that's really ugly.
Yeah.
But there's like Amador City, which I think is kind of like their main city. And as of 2010, it had a population of 185 people. And oh like 180 God. Of them were white. I was like, what? So there was like 4 black people. It was kind of crazy. That was like 2010. So I'm sure demographics have shifted. But even then, that's like not that long ago to have like 100-person town.
It is like a red county, though, if I remember.
Yes. And so we were kind of saying like it's interesting that Alpine is blue and Amador is red. I would imagine that might have to do with maybe people like from different places relocate to Alpine because I think it's a little bit more pretty traditionally. And I think people in Amador are probably like from Amador. And like I said, I mean, everything over there is pretty white predominantly, but Amador sounds like really white. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you had money to buy like your dream home in the rural part of California.
Yeah.
Like I could see like, you know, doing something kind of close to Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm. Sierra Nevada.
Or
yeah.
like close to your ski resort.
Totally. Yeah. I still don't totally know the geography. I mean, that said though, the vineyard thing, I do feel like that's got to be kind of a hot premium for just all kinds of people. Cause that's a very obviously lucrative like thing to have going for you.
I mean, I'm used to living in red counties. I'll move there.
Totally. Yeah. You might as well.
And like work like, on a wine.
There's a lot of Zinfandel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The vineyards.
Totally. Yeah. That's kind of really most of what I learned. It was weird. It's interesting because basically it sounds like the guy that it's named after, Amador, he had 22 kids. I wrote that down, which is dope. But he was just kind of like a rogue, interesting soldier that people liked him so much when he was traveling through there that they were like, we're just going to name like everything after him. Like they named a valley after him. They named like a river after him, a city and the county. It's kind of crazy. He didn't even really stick around. He kind of just like hung out there and then kind of moved on. But like they just loved him. So
that's a good lesson. Like leave while you're doing.
Totally. Well yeah. While you're like up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before they watch you crash. And
exactly.
Do that privately.
Totally. Yeah. But that was, it was interesting. It's crazy. Cause it's like, I've lived in California basically my whole life. And these are places I just literally have never heard of.
I had not realized that you were not like living currently in LA. So I'm curious about where you live.
It's San Luis Obispo. It is kind of big. We have a university, Cal Poly. So that's kind of a big draw. Like we get a lot of people from all over because they want to come to Cal Poly. And it's a very beautiful, it's a nice like small town with like stuff to do, but it's like we're like 10 minutes from the beach. There's like a lot of places to hike. It's kind of a nicely like diverse, it's not like crazy traffic all the time. It's nice and it's kind of big. It's like a spread out county. We're like an hour and a half away from Santa Barbara, and so we're right in the middle of San Francisco and LA. So sometimes I just say like LA basically because we're not even near it, but it's just easier than like explaining to people, you know.
That makes sense.
It's still kind of Southern California.
I should say, I think on a previous episode, I forgot to mention, I've been to Santa Barbara.
Yes, I didn't know that. When did you go?
It would have been 2017.
Cool.
I guess I didn't bother, like, distinguishing it from LA, kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, a day trip while I was in LA.
Totally. That's very easy to do. That's always nice. Yeah, Santa Barbara, it's intimidating because I just feel like it's so picturesque. you know, at least like LA is like a city with like that kind of thing. I feel like Santa Barbara is just like so, every part of it's just like so pretty and cute and just like, yeah, like nice. So yeah, that's cool. That's, if you've been there, then it's a lot kind of like being in the area I live in, like geographically very similar. Yeah.
Got it. And okay, guess what? Like the thing that I did when I was in Santa Barbara,
what?
I went to a vineyard, and it was, you know, later to come to find, it was the same vineyard that Raquel and James have their engagement party.
Oh my God, really?
I was at that vineyard, and I had all these pictures of me in the same freaking setting that all of the cast members were doing, like,
beautiful
photos of them with this, like, golden hour. And I remember so many things about it. Like, when I watched that season, when they had that engagement party, and James is like, feeding lines to Raquel because she's like terrified of public speaking at the time.
Oh, I forgot.
But everyone's like, James, we can see you.
Yeah, yeah. He's like coaching her. Oh my God, I forgot. So you like recognized it watching it?
Yeah, and the room that they were standing in when they gave that speech, because it was like a very like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, yeah, she was like in a, yeah, it was like balcony. Very staged.
Like, I mean, great space for a venue. They did not get married, but.
No, they didn't. The opposite. I would have
gone to that engagement party
happily. Absolutely. That's so cool, too, because I mean, like, there's no shortage of wineries in this area of California. So it's kind of crazy that you ended up at that exact one. That's so cool.
I don't even remember the name of it off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm just so curious. Like, visually, I was like, I've been there.
No, oh my God, that's so cool. I have to, like, make a pilgrimage to, like, the Vanderpump Winery, like, the Raquel Winery. Oh, my God, winery.
Please.
Yeah, that would be fun.
If I go to California,
oh, I'm absolutely, there. Yeah.
So, okay, the other county, yeah, that I've dug into, Atala. Mm-hmm. I think Atala is, like, how some Mississippians say it, because,
okay,
like very, like, low IQ baby. It's like when people say like Du Bois.
Oh my God, Du Bois. I
which
know,
which is like maybe accurate.
Yeah, but nobody
like,
says.
I don't care if it's accurate. I Why know. Would you sound like that on purpose?
You shouldn't sound like that.
So I'm gonna call it Atala, how it should be pronounced.
Yeah, it sounds like it's right. Yeah.
I actually read a whole novella about this Native American half Spanish woman named Atala. She ends up like killing herself because she is not able to get married.
Yeah.
She had been converted to Catholicism.
Right.
And was very like devoutly committed to not getting married or something. So she falls in love with another Native American that was like held prisoner and like tied up in the woods. And I really like felt like I knew like what tree he was tied up on. I was like,
totally.
I've been there.
Oh my God.
Like reading the descriptions. Totally. Like, and because it was honestly like beautifully written.
Yeah.
It was such beautiful writing.
Yeah.
And in defense of exoticism is like, I guess what you could call it.
Sure.
I thought it was wonderful to, I don't know, like imagine the most exotic version of a land that is maybe, you know, like, it is beautiful. Like, there is a beautiful place as in Mississippi, but it's sort of, I don't know, I liked being exoticized a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of
like
cool. I get it. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It is not something I take so seriously. Like, it's not like maybe enriching, but it's fun. And
it's definitely engrossing. I would think it's also like such a different time. Like, I don't think people thought of anything like that then, you know?
Yeah. And just like all of the writing, not just about the landscapes, but just like the way that they wrote about falling in love and how he ended up like getting trapped and getting rescued.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were running, and there were all of these different tribes around that you couldn't trust whether or not they were actually friendly to you or not.
Oh my gosh. Because
they might fake you out at first just so they can switch it up on you. Anyway, I don't actually remember if they both died in the end.
Okay.
I think she kills herself for
right. sure. Right, I read that online for sure. Yeah, there's that painting, right? Like, there's a lot of beautiful art about it too, yeah.
Right, let's name drop the author. Chateaubriand is from Brittany or Bretagne.
Right.
That's like northwest France. Saint-Malo, like Mont-Saint-Michel, Rennes. I've actually been to that part of France.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
studied abroad in Rennes.
I didn't know that.
For a semester.
Oh, that's awesome.
And read that, Chateaubriand like went to college in the same city that I did.
That's so crazy. Wow.
So then he was born to a slave trader in France. His dad was originally a ship captain and then he became a slave trader. And so he grew up on this castle, but was also idle and despondent and just, like, depressed rich boy, like, writing poems in the field.
Yes, love it.
I enjoyed the backstory to understand when this guy comes to the States so that he can have this experience that makes him worthy of being a writer.
Right.
Witnessing these sorts of savage cultures so that he's able to have that much more authority in his like exotic storytelling.
Totally.
And it's so funny because he was so inspired by the Natchez conflict with the French. And when he got off the ship, he landed in Philadelphia and then bummed around, I guess, in like New York and Philadelphia for a little bit before he went towards the Midwest to, I guess, like hike or hang out with Native Americans.
Yeah.
And he has this story about how he was hiking and he like broke his leg but lived with a Native American tribe that like helped him heal his injury. And there was like a footnote. Yeah, most people think that this is a lie.
Totally. And he made it up. I was gonna say that's like so a story that you'd like, you're like, I was backpacking and then you would never believe.
There's a character from Survivor that you just reminded me of, or like a competitor from Survivor named Coach that like always talked about his adventures on rivers where he got like kidnapped or was, you know, nursed back to health by these, you know, people of the land.
Everybody loves that. It's the best narrative.
And he wrote about, in his story as Hala, having firsthand accounts with some of the people that he was, or some of the tribes that his characters were inspired by.
Okay, yeah.
And it's actually confirmed, like, he never went down south.
That's, I mean, I guess that's the hallmark of a good writer. Like, you just make shit up, interestingly enough. Yeah, like...
Right? I mean, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of thought it was funny.
It is, like...
It reminded me just of, I don't know, European artists dropping their schedule for their tour, their tour dates, and it's Philly, New York, Chicago, and they, like, skip the South, but then meanwhile, like, their second track is called Mississippi, like, Mud or
something. That's so true. Like, absolutely. They're name-dropping it, but...
Right. It's like when Beyonce used all that New Orleans imagery, and then the Formation tour, like, didn't tour New Orleans.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going down there. Yeah, that's so funny. God, that's a good point. Yeah, it's very that.
Oh my God. Yeah, basically, it's like interesting to me. I don't know. I kind of have a new perspective on romanticism.
Yeah.
As I guess it's sort of a response to industrialism.
Oh, yeah.
As just a landscape that was so reprehensible to these people that were like used to living on castles and writing about how beautiful their life was or whatever.
Totally.
Or I don't know, maybe they used to write about something else. But now that all of these like trains are coming through their fields of flowers, they're inventing this genre to put their middle finger up to the technological development.
Totally.
And just like embrace that simple life.
Absolutely. And to romanticize, you know, everything you can, if, especially if in the vein of like art and stuff. That's like the whole point. It's very relevant to today's world because I feel like that's kind of something everybody strives to do, is just like to fight against just like the automation of everything and just how like sterile and ugly things are now, you know?
Yeah, I think that romanticism has a huge place in our modern
moment.
Like, I feel like there was a time where the industrialization brought good things to some people. Maybe lifted some people out of poverty.
Course,
I actually
don't
know if that's true, but I would think, you know, people that didn't have anything
were
able to at least like have a different, I don't know, like level of connectedness to their country like in participating in it, as opposed to just sort of being at the bottom of the totem pole.
For
I don't know. Like, obviously not everyone lived on castles.
No, no, that's true.
But I'm trying to think about like what else I learned about Chateaubriand.
Yeah, that's, is it a wine? I think we said, I mean, I heard that and was like, that is a kind
of
wine.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I think it's like
definitely
a steak
kind of wine.
Dish also,
I wonder what
and
that
a
is.
Wine.
That's awesome. Is that like because of him?
That's a good question.
Is it also a place or am I literally crazy?
I don't know. Like the word castle is obviously like built into the name.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was like the name of a castle as well.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, let's name this group of people. This is the castle they live at. So, their last name is Chateaubriand.
Exactly. Or like, this is what they do for like a trade or whatever. That kind
like,
of thing.
Like Smith is obviously so common because there were so many blacksmiths.
Totally.
Or
it's crazy. Yeah. I love thinking about that.
Do you know like the origin of your last name?
My last name is Kramer with a K and I think it's German. And I think it does have like some kind of work related thing that is something to do. I want to say literally with like blacksmithing or something, or like metalworking or something, I think. I haven't looked into it that much. Also, my grandparents changed their names a bunch when they immigrated. So it's like not fully even really our last name, or it wouldn't have been. So it's hard to say. Do you know yours though?
Butz is also German. And how do I put this? Like Alfred of the Butts might be named such because he spent so much time in this archery field that was called a butt.
Oh my God, totally.
Like, so the last name just has to do with the land where you do archery.
That's so interesting. Okay, that makes sense.
I should get into some bow and arrows.
Yeah, you should. You should get really into archery.
Yeah, and run through the forests with like my bow and arrow.
That's romantic. Yeah.
Like my Native American like earrings. Like I'm doing
exactly.
research.
Yeah, exactly. You get taken in by a tribe.
This is for my novella.
Totally. Like, I'm just a romantic. Yeah.
Oh my God. But the actual county, let's actually get there.
Yes.
So it's about an hour drive from my parents' house.
Okay.
It's not a county I've spent much time in, but I know Kosciuszko is the main city there.
Oh, wow. It's an interesting name.
Yeah, it's spelled crazy as hell. It's K-O-S-C-U-Z-I something. Like,
oh, my God.
It's such a strange, strange spelling. And that's where Oprah was born. I couldn't tell you, like, what Kosciuszko means, but yeah, it means this is where Oprah's born.
Totally. It means Oprah in whatever. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's because I looked her up the other day when we were talking about Oprah, because I knew you said she lived in Mississippi and then moved to Chicago. And I totally read that she lived in, like, she was born there. And I literally read that word and was like, I have no idea what that means. And I, like, didn't look into it any further because I was like, what the hell is that? That's so funny. It ends up being this county.
Yeah, and she wasn't in Mississippi for more than, I think, like, 6 years.
Okay.
But when she was there, her grandmother was raising her.
Right. I know a little bit about her backstory just because it's very sad.
Yeah. 1 in 5 millennials did a book report on Oprah in middle school.
That's so true.
School.
Or just like, she was such a like household, I mean, such a household name, obviously, but such a like part of my household. Like my mom and I would like watch her every day. It's just like Oprah. She's like in the room with us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great story. It is full of ups and downs and nice like tragedy. But the 6 years she was in Mississippi, I think her grandmother taught her how to read and just read a lot to her.
Yeah.
Which, hot tip if you have a kid, like read to your kid
straight
at night.
Straight up, like make your kid start reading. Yeah, like that's huge. Yeah.
And then I think her mom was in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
So she spent a lot of time in Milwaukee.
Got it. Didn't know that.
But like ran away a couple times. I think that was where she actually had the most abuse in her childhood was and the Milwaukee stage. So eventually she did Nashville and then started working in radio.
She really bounced around a lot. And then she kind of settled in Chicago when she was starting her like journalism stuff.
Yeah. Once she got to Chicago, she was still in radio at first and she got her station to triple their ratings because she was just excellent at telling stories and being charismatic on both video and audio format.
Totally.
I think she has like a really good knack for making these facial expressions that are attentive, skeptical, but understanding at the same time, willing to listen and hear out some crazy ideas, but also ask the questions that kind of represent what the audience would obviously be wanting to know.
Right, and like without ever alienating the guest or who she's speaking to, you know, which obviously makes them more willing to talk, you know, if you kind of just talk to them normally with, you know, just like basic compassion and respect or whatever, yeah.
Right, she's like Nancy Shepherd Hughes, the anthropologist that would disarm her subjects so that they could admit to stealing people's like liver.
That's the only way you get information, yeah.
Right, being like, oh, I totally get it.
Yeah, like I would do that. Do the same thing. Yeah, exactly. Like I've totally done that. And then just like, oh.
Yeah. Who amongst us?
We've all done it, yeah.
I think of her interviewing like Lindsay Lohan and making her feel safe, but also like reprimanding her.
Yeah, and like getting the information that people wanted, but it really rarely felt kind of parasitic with her, or like it doesn't feel like voyeuristic or creepy or whatever. I just remember as a kid watching her one time with my mom, and I was really little, and Oprah was interviewing like a pimp, like a pimp that like prostituted women, and she was just talking to him like very candidly and very like understandingly, but also kind of being like, why do you do this? Like, you're ruining people's lives. Like, do you feel that way? Like, it was just so crazy. I remember being like, what the fuck? Like, she's just, she really is amazing at what she does. It's kind of insane.
I would love to watch that episode. And it makes me think of, like, we talked about the Tyra Banks show. Tyra Banks tried to do that same thing, but it failed to factor in that she's a psychopath.
She is. She's, like, a model, but also, like, a mannequin come to life, kind of. And, like that movie Life Size. And a psychopath. I remember, like, have you seen the video of her? I hope I'm not making this up. She, like, makes a bunch of puns out of everything she's saying when she's interviewing someone. And she's, like, laughing at her own
Beyonce,
jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, my God, Tyra Banks. Like, what the fuck?
She's like Beyonce, yeah. What's your favorite show? Jeez.
That's like her style of disarming someone. Yeah, totally. Like, puts them into like a stress position. Yeah.
Oh my God. And so like, funny. Listen, Oprah has her crutches too.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But she can get by with them.
She really can.
It does not, like,
it's like not
it actually
like
does disarm someone.
Yeah, yeah. It
instead
gets the
of
job
just
done.
Like stunning them.
Yeah, like, exactly. Into like
incredulity.
Silence. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Not knowing how to respond for the first time. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, that's, I think Tyra was definitely trying to do her own kind of, but like, I mean, Oprah would like a rewatch of the ones that I used to see as a kid in the 2000s, because they were always just her talking to some woman who's like, your husband pushed you down the stairs when you were 8 months pregnant. Like, how did that make you feel? It's just like the craziest stories.
Right. And of course it helps that she's able to tell about her own experiences with abuse and broken homes. It makes her so admirable to the boomer demographic, because she does have a pull yourself up by your bootstraps story and can give that advice to anybody that, like, you just have to work hard and believe in yourself and you can do anything you set your mind to, and it comes across as like heartfelt and inspirational, because she is a testament to the ability for, you know, like, what, the 3% of the population that has ever worked for,
totally the American dream, but like
yeah. I saw an article, actually, that was, like, a poll saying that a majority of Americans no longer believe that hard work will improve the quality of their life.
Damn, I believe that. That's sad.
I mean, if they polled me, I would have said the same thing.
I would totally agree. But also, at the same time, I feel like people just historically have been so delusional about... Because I feel like sometimes with the American dream, people often also think that things should be handed to them, kind of, almost, you know, which is a trip, just by virtue of, like, living here. But,
Well, yeah, it's like we were talking about on that wife swap episode. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you work hard does not guarantee results. And now, it almost has nothing to do with it.
It really kind of does. It's just completely random, and it's, like, who you know and what you're willing to do.
Right. And that's why getting advice is so infuriating.
Yeah, they think that now is like any other time.
Right. Not to go back there, but I think we've done a pretty good job, like, kind of capturing how Oprah became so successful.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, first Black billionaire,
yeah.
I want to say.
Well, and she has, oh my God, she has so many houses in, like, every beautiful place on the planet you can think of.
She's done a lot of philanthropy, donated lots of money to different causes, and I was doing some research because this is something that I have heard from not a ton of people, but just a good handful of Mississippians mm-hmm. that have a sort of chip on their shoulder about Oprah.
Ooh.
Because she was so adored and popular and was able to do so much good in certain communities that would make for a good episode special or relevant to her own passions as a woman that wanted to improve the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are some Mississippians that feel like she's ignored us or ignored the state and not given back here as much, or not like repped us as much, because most people don't even really think about Mississippi at all.
I don't
think of
with
Oprah.
Her. Yeah, I totally associate her with like Chicago, and then like now just her show in like Aspen, where she has like a beautiful house or whatever. I could totally see that. Do you feel that way at all, or is it, do you just think that's kind of like?
I actually used to, but then when I realized she left the state at the age of 6, and lived in so many other places, I don't remember what I was doing when I was 5 and 6.
No, like, and it probably wasn't a good time. Her childhood seemed really difficult and scary. So it's like...
One thing, and I'm glad you said that, because the poverty in that county, especially in the 50s, is really extraordinary. And one thing that stood out about her time in Mississippi mm-hmm. is that when she did finally go to like elementary school or whatever, she was wearing like a brown sack. What do you call those? Like a
potato sack, basically. Like,
Potato sack as a
I read
dress.
that too. I was like, oh no. Yeah.
Which, even if it is another, like, you know, Chateaubriand
It
lie
was
that
like
she made
it's
up, it's
a
still,
great
like,
story. Yeah.
effectively illustrative of the poverty that I know was a part of.
Totally. And I don't disbelieve it.
No, I don't have to believe it either. And even if it was somehow not true, it doesn't matter because the poverty is just real as fucking parts of the state.
Absolutely,
And
especially for like a black family, I'm sure, yeah.
yeah, in the 50s, she was born the same year or with the same like 2 year span
Yes.
as like my
My
dad.
dad
And
too,
then,
yeah.
oh wow, and Britney Spears' dad as well.
Oh, great.
I just happened to be on the
Dope.
Wikipedia page, and so I
Totally.
was like, okay,
All the same
another
vein.
person. And like, people born that year in Mississippi were in high school during integration.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Right. And of course, like, Oprah didn't stick around to experience that,
No.
which is a good thing
Yeah.
because the schools became a lot worse for black people after integration, which is sort of a complicated thing to
It is,
explain.
yeah.
But it was really bad for a lot of, like, A, black teachers were out of work
Yeah.
because the students were
But
integrated,
not
but
the
the
faculty,
teachers
yeah.
were left behind. And then the new teachers were so incapable of connecting to
Yeah.
the new students. Students, yeah, just like felt completely othered. I read like a really compelling argument that integration should have started with the teachers.
Yeah, because they could set the kind of tone, because it's like teenagers are not, or like kids are not gonna. I feel like it was probably pretty brutal.
Honestly, if she didn't leave Mississippi, there's just no way she would have had the success she had.
I totally agree, and that sucks.
I mean, it's just what you do. You go to Memphis like Elvis,
Yeah.
or because Elvis is another
Oh
Mississippi-born
gosh. Oh my gosh.
star.
There are so many people.
But people think of Memphis because Graceland's there.
Totally. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so, I was gonna say this is kind of a non, it's not really a non sequitur. Oprah came to my town in like 2006 and she called it the happiest place on earth. So that was a big tourist
Oh
thing
my
that we
God.
used for a very long time. We're like, Oprah says this is the happiest place on earth. So it's very fun. She like loved it. She like visited for a weekend and was like, oh, I love it here. Super random.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have like a plaque somewhere that says that, I think for sure. Like where she ate once, and they're like, she said it was the happiest place on earth. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I think about Oprah all the time
I
because
do
I'm
too.
also like ended up in Chicago for a long time. Well, it's funny, like people would often say, oh, I don't know anyone from Mississippi, which I think meant I don't know any white people from Mississippi,
Totally. Yeah.
or I just don't know any black people at all.
Right. That's one of the
Because
two.
if when I had my Mississippi license,
Yeah.
and this is like talking about Chicagoans specifically,
Yeah.
because every time I, for whatever reason, had to show my ID to a person that was black, they would without fail comment on their grandmother being from Mississippi
Yeah.
or having a family reunion coming up in Mississippi or their dad being from Mississippi. It was without fail. Like it was
Interesting.
seriously, if that was a bouncer, it could be a gas station employee, it could be just like some guy that I was like chatting with at work, like or an HR lady, like whatever. Like there's all sorts of variations of what I'm describing, but like a lot of black Chicagoans are from
Yeah, that's so
Mississippi.
interesting.
And so anyway, I guess I'm just like Oprah is what I'm trying to
Yeah,
say.
I'm exactly like Oprah. Yeah, it's very, yeah, totally. I see that. Yeah. Yeah, no, she rocks. She's someone who's so not overrated at all, but she's so ubiquitous that I feel like people don't really grasp her. And like, if I really think about it, I'm like, that's actually so fucking crazy and groundbreaking.
When I was doing research of criticisms of Oprah, I found way more stuff about her promotion of like Dr. Oz and Dr.
Ooh.
Phil and John of God or something. I don't remember all of the
Yeah, yeah,
names,
yeah.
but I think that the one thing that people give her shit for now is that she gave a voice to a lot of quacks.
Sure. Yeah.
I did watch an episode on YouTube and it was, I think it was Dr. Oz, and he was talking about like past lives and hypnosis that helps people access the reptilian part of their brain and meditate in a way where they can have visions of what it was like in their past lives. And so you just had all these people in the audience that he was like guiding through this experience, and they
Yeah.
were kind of like, Like, and I was like, oh yeah, this is what it used to be like.
It really did. It's actually so, because like Dr. Oz, like, like that's another thing I remember from watching it as a kid. I was like, oh yeah, like this guy's for real, you know? But then you go back and you're like, he's saying some shit where you're like, oh my God. Like,
right. I mean, it's like what I'm doing. It's, you know what I mean? Like, get a flat earther on the Oprah show. Like, please.
Like, I miss that kind of diversity of thought. Like, she really was just kind of letting everybody speak. And it's cool to get a bunch of, like, middle America housewives to be like, oh my God, maybe I, like, lived in a different time once. Like, you know, right. Expanding their minds. It's interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's entertaining, too.
It is, and yeah. It's good television.
She, from being a good radio personality, yeah. Learned not just about journalism, but also just learned about entertainment and how to make a lot of money and be really successful.
Uh-huh.
And that was part of the formula.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, who doesn't love that section of the newspaper that's just full of, like, nonsense?
The best. Yeah, absolutely. All of that. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm thinking still about Chateaubriand. And voices of generations now, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It all kind of links back, yeah. Did you look at Oprah's chart at all, or just...
Yeah, I did a little bit. She had a lot of Aquarius and a lot of Sagittarius.
Okay, that totally tracks. And that's probably where some of the pseudoscience comes in, is the Aquarius stuff, you know? They're very open-minded, you know?
Good point. I have the same moon in rising as her.
Oh my gosh, which is what? Is it both Aquarius? Or?
She was Sag.
Okay.
So she had Aquarius on like 3 or 4 things and Sagittarius on like 3 things, but that included rising and moon.
Interesting.
So I was like, oh, okay, maybe not too different from Miss Winfrey.
You are like Oprah. Yeah, very much so.
Born in Mississippi, air sign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a cuspy, but...
Yeah, but no, it counts.
...that I'm a Gemini.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is actually kind of random. That's crazy.
Another interesting thing about Oprah is that her name was supposed to be Orpah.
Uh-huh. I know, which is a biblical name, like, apparently.
Yeah, I was trying to read that story of the Bible from, like, the Book of Ruth, and I just couldn't.
Yeah, I also, though, it's like, what a fortuitous mistake that the person at the hospital wrote it down wrong, because Orpah does not have the same ring to it. Like, imagine, mm-hmm. It just sounds like you're mispronouncing Oprah. Like, it's Oprah is just so, like, burned into our brains, and it suits her, you know?
Very good point. Yeah, it's like what Emmett County tried to do.
Totally, yeah.
But they were not successful.
No.
They just were lazy.
Yeah. that's history. That's, you know, that's the passing of time, yeah.
Right, I mean, it tracks that a white Mississippian would make, like, a beautiful French word sound more retarded, but then, like, a black Mississippian would make a biblical word sound like a word that I actually could say out
absolutely loud. And like a word that like rings, like it has a ring to it, yeah,
right, that like, yeah, yeah, that like sings,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Ugh. She does have like a very pastor quality sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she is for like women, I feel like, of a certain time that like saw her doing what she was doing, like she's like the messiah for people.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Before we finish,
uh-huh,
I also want to correct something.
Ooh.
From when I was talking about the French Indian War, which I actually don't know anything about that war, but it's a totally different thing from the Natchez Wars.
Okay.
So, like, the Natchez don't really have to do with the French Indian War. They were a part of a different series of battles that I don't know if they have an iconic name other than just like the Natchez Wars.
Totally.
Just to like finish us off on some history. And this being sort of the history that inspired Chateaubriand,
mm-hmm,
in the first place was French settlers going to the Deep South.
Right.
Louisiana, Mississippi, and being by the river and interacting with different tribes,
mm-hmm,
having success integrating with the Natchez for some time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not unlike Amador County, a lot of the settlers were men.
Yes.
And there's not as many women, but then the native women would end up having the settlers' kids in some cases. So they eventually, though, were completely wiped out by the Natchez.
Oh.
It was not super well populated. Maybe like 600 people. Wow. That had come from France.
Yeah.
That were, you know, living with the Natchez, mm-hmm, near the river. And the Natchez fully just, like, murdered all of them.
Oh, my God. Even the ones that they had maybe, like, procreated with? Or, like, do you just mean, like, mm-hmm, the... Oh, my God.
I mean, just I over think time? Some of them escaped.
Okay.
Like, some people escaped. No, it was, like, all in one day.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing about this series of conflicts was both with the Natchez fighting the settlers and with the settlers eventually deciding to completely exterminate the Natchez in that region.
Yeah.
Which is how they were able to then fill that land with plantations.
Sure.
Often, though, they recruited different tribes from different areas on both sides.
Okay.
Like, so it was interesting to learn about, like, Cherokee, I think, was, like, neutral for a while, but eventually joined forces with the Natchez.
Got it.
And there were certain tribes that joined forces with settlers, like, I think maybe the Chickasaw. Don't quote me on any of this, but it was, like, I was reading about it, just sort of imagining how dramatic it must have been. I kind of understand why Chateaubriand was so fascinating.
Absolutely. I mean, just, like, even what you were saying about in the story, just, like, the idea of, like, you know, two, like, lovers, like, trying to get through the woods to get to where they want to go, and there's, like, people running after them. It's, like, that's kind of how, I mean, like, things were, like, it was truly, like, a different time. There was just so much strife, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine Chateaubriand running up to his dad, like, Daddy, Daddy, I just learned about these Native Americans that were exterminated by some settlers, and it's such beautiful land. And he's like, huh, fertile land with a bunch of exterminated natives.
Yeah, he's like, sounds great.
It sounds like I should ship some slaves over there.
Yeah, he's like, this is a great path for me to take.
I guess that's the story of the Natchez. I feel like I didn't do a good job at all.
No, I mean, I'm going to read more about it because it's just so interesting. That's just the name of the tribe, yes, Natchez.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a county, isn't it? Is that a place?
The city that was in Adams that was, like, from, yeah, when we talked about where, like, the richest part of the country was right before the Civil War. Which, again, crazy to think about, right when California was getting started.
Dude, I know.
Like, the Civil War was also happening. Uh-huh. Like, the Gold Rush happening at the same time as the Civil War is, like, weird.
It's crazy. It's really weird. And it's just, like, so, yeah, just, like, how separate two things can be. When it's really not that far from each other. It's like different worlds are happening. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. One last thing that I also thought was interesting about Amador County.
Yeah.
Because we were wondering how did the news travel? Like if you were learning about what was going on in the Civil War while living in California at the time, how would you even know? And, like, of course, newspapers existed, but, like, how would they get the news from across the country? Right before the telegraph was invented, which I think was, like, 1851.
Okay, sounds right.
But, like, right before that, they had the Pony Express. So they would, they would get, like, in 2 to 3 days, news transmitted from the East Coast to the West
Coast.
Which
is pretty amazing.
And, like, it was all, like, on horses.
Yeah, it's literally insane.
So cool.
It's so cool.
I just, like, can't even, I don't know, not that I want to live in that
I don't think I'd do very
like
well. Yeah. I would definitely like be a prostitute at the Gold Rush camps, like trying to make do, you know.
Right. Me like romanticizing the like years where we had the most like citizens die.
Totally. Just like war total bloodshed. Yeah.
But you got your news by horse, man. Like
it's
come on. That's
cool.
Pretty romantic.
And like
huh?
Pretty fast considering, you know, like that's kind of amazing.
Right. I mean it's no wonder that Westerns like popped off. Like it's such a crazy thing to imagine. And it's funny how even, like, I would say European boomers grew up watching, or maybe, like, older than that, did have Westerns as the main cultural output of America for some time.
Yeah, that's, like, the spaghetti Western, you know, like, that's where it all comes from. It's just, like, it's crazy. It's cool that that's such an evocative, you know, long-standing image. It is just romantic in its nature, the way that it's looked at and talked about, just, like, cowboys and... It's so, yeah, it's so grand.
Totally. Yeah, the romanticist legacy is still...
Alive and well.
I think it was a professor I had that was from Europe. I couldn't tell you which country off the top of my head. But I want to say, like, an Eastern European country.
Yeah.
He arrived in California when he first immigrated to America and was fully expecting to see cowboys. I think he was, like, landing in the 50s, like, you know, like, next to, like, Don Draper or whatever. Like, this is not what I thought I was going to be running into.
No, it's so funny. It's so, I love that, though, like, how indelible that is.
The power of, like, romanticizing America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
It's, like, hard to understate.
I think it's easier to consider and conceptualize when you look at other places and how they think of us, because it really comes into focus then.